Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. Today, a launch event was held for Canada's Farm Show here in Regina. Adam Piccalo with PI Financial broke down the USDA's WASDE report and a look at how canola and wheat futures did for this week. And the Saskatchewan Water Security Agency updated its spring runoff forecast. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. Up first on SaskAg Today is the launch event for Canada's Farm Show. Some notable guests included Provincial Agriculture Minister David Merritt and more.
This is SaskAg Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
SaskAg Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. Fix your water problems. Visit farmfreshwater.ca. The countdown is on to Canada's Farm Show as a launch event was held yesterday from the AGT Lounge at Mosaic Stadium. There was an emphasis, or rather, there is an emphasis on ag tech for this year's show, and Provincial Agriculture Minister David Merritt says seeing how technology has improved over the last 5 years is nothing short of marvelous.
To sit in a combine today and know exactly what's going into the tank and what's going out the back and exactly how many bushels you're putting, you're growing, all of that. That is really what innovation and sustainability is all about in the ag sector. And I couldn't be more excited to really hear the show launch again and really get going the way, you know, like I said, I farmed for over 50 years. We came to the show many, many times. Always was intrigued by innovation, technology, and seeing just how it's changing. And every year it's changing, and it's really incredible.
Returning this year is the Cultivators 24-Hour Startup Ag Tech, a competition that brings together people in the ag, business, and technology sectors into teams that have to create and pitch a minimum viable product in just 24 hours. The Global Ag Tech Summit will include a one-day session featuring industry guests and experts sharing insights into ag tech and innovation. And the Launchpad, presented by Deloitte, will be front and center at the show, featuring a wide and diverse variety of speakers. The first day at the Launchpad will have Degelman Industries introduce the latest line of high-performance tillage equipment, the HDSR series of heavy-duty staggered ripper. Derek Molnar, marketing manager for Degelman, gave a preview of their product.
We were looking at compaction issues in the U.S. primarily, and when looking at that, we just noticed that there wasn't a lot of good products for guys that would fit a Degelman molded product, not engineered tough enough, not durable enough, and so we started looking at what kind of options we could put into a deep tillage system, and that's where we started looking at our HDSR series of staggered rippers. And in those conversations with customers and farmers in the U.S., we started to notice a lot of tendencies that we were seeing up in Western Canada as well when it came to compaction. So as we've developed that product, we've gotten more and more interest from Western Canadian farmers for it. And what better time to introduce it to Western Canada than that one of the premier farm shows at Canada's Farm Show in Regina.
Roberta Engel is the acting CEO of Real, taking over from Tim Reed. There had been concerns about having no Canada's Farm Show this year given recent turmoil and changes at Real over the last year. But Engel says there was no doubt Canada's Farm Show would run this year.
As I said earlier today, agriculture is extremely important to our province, to our city, and to our organization, and it's really the pillar of rail. And so based on that, there was no question in our mind as an organization that Canada's Farm Show is here to stay. And it's a pillar, and we will continue to deliver on an amazing show.
Canada's Farm Show runs from June 18th to 20th from Rail District. Coming up next on the program, my chat with Adam Bacallo from PI Financial about the latest USDA WASDE report and a look at the canola and wheat futures and how they did for this week.
We're back with SaskAg Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance, crop insurance at cost. See municipalhail.ca. Future commodity advisor with PI Financial, Adam Bacallo, was one of many analysts to read the latest USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report. After reading it cover to cover yesterday, Bacallo was bearish on the report.
Maybe starting off on the soybean front, I would say it was mostly negative for beans as a lot of the numbers were above trade expectations. U.S. stocks were up about 8% month over month. Now is actually up about 29% year over year. Exports were down a couple percent on soybeans. Soybean oil stocks were up about 3% month over month. There weren't many world changes when it comes to soybeans. So that was kind of one thing we did see a bit more of a negative report. Markets were kind of down a little bit yesterday. Today, as we're kind of talking right now, beans are actually up about 20 cents a bushel. So to be honest, report days, I always say to clients, are a coin flip because one news comes out and another changes. So when looking at as well, too, on the wheat front, again, mostly negative as well, too. U.S. stocks were about 4% higher month over month, now about 22% higher year over year. Again, exports were down as well, too. So we did see kind of wheat markets down yesterday. Today, they're recovering a little bit, up about 10 cents Chicago, 7 Kansas, and 7 Minneapolis right now.
So in light of that, is there any sort of kind of way we should look at this? Is it a little bit concerning, or is it kind of just, we'll wait and see until the next report comes out, kind of play that long game, so to speak?
Well, I think ending stocks is definitely something to watch, given that it came in higher for beans, wheat, and corn actually as well, too. So the USDA did leave Brazil's crop unchanged from last month, but they did cut Argentina's corn crop by about 1 million tons. So I think right now, again, is also very, you know, weather-dependent kind of for the markets. And, you know, that maybe leads us into canola. You know, canola on the week was down approximately $10 a ton on the week, where we currently sit at $6.33. Yesterday it was down quite a bit. Today we're recovering about $10 on the day, actually. So canola seems to be trading a little bit more, you know, it's sideways for the last month or so.
And that's for the May canola contract. How did the May Minneapolis wheat contract do? I know it's trending a little bit up in early trading today, but on the week, how did it do?
On the week, we're actually about unchanged, sitting at about $6.47 a bushel. Today here, we are up, as you mentioned, about 7.5 cents. So again, wheat is kind of traded pretty sideways as well, too, right now, a little bit more sideways to lower. So I have been kind of talking to clients, again, if they have wheat in the bin, you know, maybe what they should be kind of looking at depending on their risk tolerance.
So in light of the USDA WASDE report, is there anything else in terms of an outlook that you're watching for?
You know, one thing, again, we've talked about this before, is kind of how crude oil has been moving up. On the May WTI crude, we're sitting at about $87.55 today. We're up about $2.50, kind of making some new high, recent highs here on that contract. So that's been, you know, a little bit interesting to watch. Now, you would think maybe that would be positive for the Canadian dollar, but the U.S. dollar has been going higher, and that's been driving the Canadian dollar kind of lower recently. As well, too, the Bank of Canada added as we kept rates the same. So we have seen now in really the last few days the Canadian dollar drop about a cent, and it is looking like it's kind of heading towards that 72 kind of area on the June futures. So that's something that I'm kind of watching for producers. And, you know, it may be a little bit out of left field here as well, too, but gold is making still new all-time highs, up about $60 an ounce as I'm looking at here on the June contract. So some interesting market movements here on a lot of commodities.
That's Adam Bacallo with PI Financial. Coming up is Ag Review with Doug Falconer, followed by Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and Migrain Exchange, ready to market your 2023 crop. Head over to migrainexchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
One of Saskatchewan's political parties wants to limit foreign farmland ownership. The Progressive Conservative Party notes Saskatchewan's farmland values increased by almost 16% from 2022. That's according to Farm Credit Canada's Farmland Values Report. Under current Saskatchewan law, people or entities deemed ineligible, which include non-Canadian citizens or non-permanent residents of Canada, may own 10 acres of land. Acquisitions of more than 10 acres requires an exemption from the Farmland Security Board. One of the party's proposals is to expand the definition of foreign farmland ownership to include people or entities who aren't living or farming in Saskatchewan. A 2017 report from Saskatchewan and Manitoba researchers found that in 2014, 37 identified investors owned a total of 837,019 acres. The Canadian Cattle Association has initiated an update to the Code of Practice for the Care and Handling of Beef Cattle. The National Farm Animal Care Council is involved, and the update will be in line with the National Farm Animal Care Council's code development practice. The code development process will begin with a survey to capture welfare concerns from all stakeholders. Results from the surveys will help the code committee understand the issues stakeholders want to see in the update. Everyone can participate in the survey. The code update will bring the industry into alignment with responsible practices, many of which have already been implemented by producers. Canada's codes of practice provide guidance for the care and handling of farm animals. They serve as educational tools, reference materials for regulations, and the foundation for farm animal care assessment programs. Alberta farmers and their family members now have the option to apply for a farm-restricted Class 1 driver's license. It would allow them to drive almost any form of motor vehicle to and from the farm. These licenses will be issued with Condition Code P, meaning the driver must comply with farmer restrictions. Applicants must successfully complete a knowledge and road test, vision screening, and submission of a driver's medical assessment. However, they will not be required to complete pre-licensing training. Drivers must meet all other requirements of a Class 1 driver's license, including the air brake endorsement. Farm commodity groups have been pushing the provincial government for less costly Class 1 licensing procedures for producers and their employees for some time. Soaring prices have helped fuel a food crisis in West and Central Africa, where nearly 55 million people will struggle to feed themselves in the coming months. The number facing hunger during the June to August lean season has quadrupled over the last 5 years, noting that economic challenges such as double-digit inflation and stagnating local production had become major drivers of the crisis beyond recurrent conflicts in the region. Among the worst affected countries are Nigeria, Ghana, Sierra Leone, and Mali, where around 2,600 people in northern areas are likely to experience catastrophic hunger. Due to the food shortages, malnutrition is alarmingly high, estimating that 16.7 million children under the age of 5 are acutely malnourished across West and Central Africa. The region's heavy dependence on food imports has tightened the squeeze, particularly for countries battling high inflation, such as Ghana, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, from what the forecast looks like for tonight and into a little bit of next week's, a chance of showers and especially a good chance of showers on Tuesday. So for farmers everywhere, that sounds like good news.
Yeah, it's going to be rainy. The problem is, though, is that on the backside of the rain comes a very cold air mass to the point where we're not only dealing with frost, but moderate freezing with potential for some snow. So every good news in this case comes with some bad to follow. And the cold light lasts for a couple of days for the middle and end of next week. Warm now for the next few days. There are some showers around. Off to our north, there are plenty. Northern half of the province seeing more widespread showers. Very few isolated showers firing up in the southwestern corner, more into Montana. A few of those may get in through here toward evening, through the evening, a 20% chance. But temperatures are into the mid to upper teens this afternoon, a lot of cloud cover. Tonight, down to 4. The wind is strong daytime. It will subside through the night. And for tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, up to around 19. Sunday, we may again see one of those isolated late-day showers. Not much of a threat for that. 16 is the high on Sunday. Most of the day itself is fine with a partly to mostly sunny sky. In fact, we're at least 16 on Monday as well. A lot of uncertainty with the temperature on Monday because there is a push of warm air which is going to come in ahead of the cold front. The question is how much it can be realized as the cloud cover increases through the day as well. So we'll say at least 16, and then we start to drop. Monday night we fall. Tuesday we'll continue to fall. Wednesday we really won't rise much at all. By Tuesday we're falling through the single numbers. It'll be rain through the day, likely some steady rain for a while. Also gusty winds developing. And then Tuesday night the temperature falls to 0 by day's end and then into negative territory. Tuesday night and for a while on Wednesday it'll be some snow that comes down. We'll take a few days to break out of that cold. At least we're looking at some sub-freezing nights. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night.
Thank you very much, Phil. Normal highs for this time of year, 11 degrees, the lows minus 3. Sun rose in Regina at 6:09 this morning, and the sun will set at 7:50 tonight. Around the province in Assiniboia, 16 degrees, Moosomin 11, Estevan 14, Saskatoon 10, Swift Current 15, Yorkton and Melville 9, and Weyburn is at 12. The warm spot in the province is in Coronach at 16.9 degrees, and the cold spot in Waskasoo Lake at 4.2. In Regina, it's mostly cloudy, south-southeast wind at 43 to 62 kilometers an hour, humidity at 22%, temperature 14 degrees or 57 Fahrenheit, barometric pressure at 101.2 and falling. In Moose Jaw, mostly cloudy, southeast wind at 46 to 59 kilometers an hour, temperature at 16. Again in Regina, mostly cloudy, south-southeast wind at 43 to 62, temperature 14 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com and Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Saskatchewan's Water Security Agency has issued a high flow advisory for a large portion of the Parkland region. Spokesman Patrick Boyle has the details.
Yeah, we're looking at a high flow advisory based on the conditions, kind of coming from Kelvington down to sort of Norquay, Priestville, and then heading south to Kenora, Campsack, down to Yorkton, and then even down to that Churchbridge area. And that's really as a result of the amount of snow that was there for that one larger snow event and was still existing. And then temperatures began to change here. And so when we see that, they're kind of temperatures moving quickly, so the response in the landscape has been pretty quickly in that area, and so we're seeing some issues with potential for localized flooding of certain roads, and then maybe impacting some farmland in the area.
But he says no communities are at risk of flooding right now.
No community is at risk at this time. It's more, just getting that quick melt and a surge of water, so then backs up to some of those local culverts and areas, and then moves on to water onto the road. And I think Highway 8 in that McNutt area saw some of that yesterday as well.
Boyle says it would be ideal if it didn't get too warm during the day and would cool off below zero at night.
Yeah, we look for that swing of that +5 during the day and then -5 at night. And that really helps us see that slow, gradual melt. And where we kind of get into trouble on this end of things is that if you get that +10, +15, and then it only, goes down to 5 degrees at night or just above freezing and doesn't freeze, then you get that quick response on the landscape. And I think that's what we're seeing and why we issued the high flow advisory in that area there, sort of Yorkton and north of there.
He notes the Emergency Flood Damage Reduction Program is available to assist communities. We'll take another break here, but Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Seven groups spoke on Bill C-355 Tuesday as the Commons Ag Committee got back to work reviewing the private members' bill. It calls for an act to prohibit the export by air of horses for slaughter and to make related amendments to certain acts. The bill is supported by the Liberals and the NDP and opposed by the Tories and the Bloc. One of the people the committee heard from Tuesday was Seneca Crossland, the president of the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition.
Over the past decade, polls and petitions have convinced us that many Canadians are as appalled as we are by the treatment of horses in the course of air export for slaughter. We have studied ATIP documents that detail deaths and injuries having occurred to horses being airshipped to slaughter. One particularly egregious 2014 example involved a suffering horse breaking through a wooden crate and kicking a hole into the fuselage of the plane. The horse was dead on arrival. On their website, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency states that they are aware of 5 horse deaths associated with live exports since 2013. If we go back one more year, we discover from ATIP documents that 6 horses died in 2012 and 3 in 2011. Numerous injuries associated with these horse exports have been documented over the years. The industry that transports horses overseas for slaughter ignores the well-being, safety, and comfort of these animals. Their suffering is overlooked for the sake of profit. It's time to raise the bar for horses and to bring their welfare into line with what Canadians expect.
Captain Tim Perry, the president of the Airline Pilots Association, also appeared before the committee. He says the committee is concerned the bill, in its current form, puts added responsibility onto the pilots of planes carrying horses for slaughter.
The primary responsibility of the pilot in command for an aircraft is the safe operation of that aircraft before takeoff in flight and after landing. ALPA Canada believes that Bill C-355 does not recognize this and as a result will negatively impact our members by putting an unnecessary and redundant obligation accompanied by excessive penalties if in contravention of the proposed legislation on them. Further, we maintain that it is improper to place any additional responsibility on a pilot when the pilot's responsibilities are already clearly defined in the Canadian Aviation Regulations and Aeronautics Act. We also believe that all responsibility relating to required written declaration in the proposed legislation be the sole responsibility of the chief officer of customs at the airport, as identified in the bill.
Bill C-355 was introduced by Liberal MP and committee member Tim Lewis. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is the market update. We'll be back right after this.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were up in early trading today. Canola is up $8.50 to $600.22 a metric ton. Lentils is up $15 to $747.50. And number one red spring wheat is up $4.57 at $303.86. The rest were unchanged. Durum $387.37. Feed barley $232.58. Chickpeas $992.08. Flax $629.54. Oats $255.32. Yellow peas $474.72. And feed wheat $233.45. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 8 cents at $6.45 a bushel. Up next is the Livestock Report.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
Good afternoon. This is Travis Platt with Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. This past week, we had our all-breed calf and yearling pre-sort. And starting off with the steers, this is how it went. 15 red and black steers weighing 445 at about 451. 24 red and black steers weighing 591 at about 419. 20 red and black steers weighing 680 at about 360. And 13 char steers weighing 890 at about 319.50. On to the heifers, 13 can heifers weighing 597 at about 366.50. 24 red heifers weighing 605 at about 364.50. And 27 red heifers at 682 at about 334. We had 12 red heifers at 786 at about 360. 9 black heifers weighing 859 at about 323. Thursday, we had our regular cow and bull sale with close to 300 head showing up. Them good cows were $1.75 to $1.85 and sailed into the $1.90s. Them medium cows are $1.45 to $1.65. Them counter cows are $1 to $1.20. And them good bulls are $1.80 to $1.95 with sales up to $2.07. Them good heifers for $2.10 to $2.35 with sales up to $2.45. That's the update for the week. If you have any other marketing needs or are looking to book in, don't be afraid to give us a call at 692-2385. This is Travis Platt, reporter from Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. Good day and good selling.
Now here are the latest pork prices. They're up $2.01 to $217.97 per CKG. Coming up next is the Resource Report.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Home sales in Canada rose 1.7% last month compared with a year ago. The Canadian Real Estate Association says it now expects more than 492,000 homes to trade hands this year, a 10.5% increase from last year. CREA says the average price of a home sold last month amounted to $698,530, up 2% from March 2023. The national average home price is also forecast to climb 4.9% on an annual basis to $710,468 this year. On a month-over-month basis, home sales in March were up 0.5%. Thousands of Ford SUVs have been recalled in Canada and the U.S. because of a gas leak that could cause a fire. The recall covers certain Bronco Sport SUVs from the 2022 and 23 model years, as well as Escapes from 2022. Instead of repairing leaky fuel injectors, dealers will install a tube to let gasoline flow away from hot surfaces to the ground below the vehicle. The nonprofit Center for Auto Safety called Ford's remedy for the fuel leaks a Band-Aid type recall to avoid the cost of repairing the fuel injectors. On the markets, the TSX is down 123 points at 21,987. The Dow is down 461 points to 37,997. Oil is up $1.01 at $86.03 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 72.60 cents US. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. The podcast is available at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. And that's going to do it for Friday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day and a nice weekend.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.